what we envisage doing in the will of the Lord is to be able to just maybe open up the Word of God a little bit for us to give us an understanding, probably in the area of how the Lord used Daniel, his servant. It was lovely to finish with that hymn because it should be the desire of our hearts to want to serve the Lord. But of course, what comes with service is availability and preparedness. With a chart, you've got to virtually have a starting point somewhere. And sometimes that becomes a little bit awesome. But I would like us to start this morning by turning in our Bibles, and we're going to be looking up quite a few scriptures. But turn in our Bibles, please, to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 19. Just have a short reading here and an explanation, God willing, and then we'll have a look at the chart to see where it does affect us. Verse 1 of Exodus chapter 19. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had camped in the wilderness. And there Israel camped before the mount. That's Mount Sinai. Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord hath spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. I'm sure the Lord will bless us just for reading that precious portion of Scripture. Now we notice that we've got a time factor here. It was in the third month in verse 1 when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt. So it wasn't very long. And yet in verse 4 we see that the Lord is reminding them of how he brought them out of Egypt. And not only reminding them of how he brought them out of Egypt, but why. And the answer lies in verse 4 at the end. He says, and brought you unto myself. You see, it's the will of God to draw us unto himself, to continually bring us unto himself. When we, as Christians, become wayward in our Christian lives, it's the Lord's heart's desire to bring us back to himself all the time. For the unsaved in the world today, it's the Lord's heart desire to bring them unto himself. Here we see that the Lord's heart desire for Israel was to bring them unto himself. I think that's very precious when we can see revealed from the Word of God just the desire of the heart of our Almighty God. And that heart's desire is for mankind. It not only gives us a particular period of time in the nation of Israel, but it also gives us a particular period of time concerning dispensational time. It says here in verse 2 that they were departed from Rephidim and came to the desert of Sinai and camped in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before Mount Sinai. Now what happened at this particular time, and remember it's only 3 months, an approximation. But what happened when they got to Mount Sinai was that firstly they were given the law. the Ten Commandments. And you know, when you study the scripture, and I find that we see it's a beautiful rendition or exposition for us of God's wondrous grace, in that from Egypt to Sinai, there's not one death. Not one. And yet, from Sinai on, we find that judgment falls upon mankind. We see that grace reigns. But from Sinai, we find that the law 3 months, in approximation. But what happened when they got to Mount Sinai was that firstly they were given the law, the Ten Commandments. And you know, when you study the scripture, and I find that we see it's a beautiful rendition or exposition for us of God's wondrous grace, in that from Egypt to Sinai there's not one death. Not one. And yet, from Sinai on, we find that judgment falls upon mankind. We see that grace reigns. But from Sinai, we find that the Lord brings forth obedience. This is the beginning of the dispensation of the law. Shortly I'll go to the chart and we'll run through those time periods, God willing. But I just want us to establish a base for where we're working on and what we're working at on the chart. You'll find that Moses, in verse 3, went up to God and God spoke to him. In verse 5, we find that what the conversation was all about. If they will obey my voice indeed and keep my commandments, then you shall be a peculiar treasure. The Hebrew word is segula. A special treasure. So he was reminding the people of Israel that they were a very special treasure unto himself. And being a special treasure, he certainly wasn't going to take his eye off them, was he? You know, if you've got something that's a special treasure at home, you keep your eye on it, don't you? You keep your eye on it that it doesn't go missing or that it doesn't get broken and things like that. Well, God keeps his eye on his people. They are a special treasure to him. But you'll notice here that it's conditional. You've got the word if. If ye will obey my voice indeed, and if ye will keep my covenant. It's conditional on being a peculiar treasure to him. We note that we're reminded in that particular verse there of the Lord's omnipresence. We're reminded of his omnipotence and omniscience. Because he says that unto me above all people, he says, for all the earth is mine. Reminding us that God is the great creator of all things. But notice what he says in verse 6. He says, ye shall be unto me. Remember, it's conditional. Ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Moses actually takes the word of God to the elders of Israel, and it's taken in turn to the nation. And in verse 7 we see the response of the people. And I'd like us to take particular note of this. All the people answered together. We've got unity. And said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Now we could go to the book of Malachi and find out that in the book of Malachi we see all the things that they didn't do. Yet here we see at the beginning of the dispensation of the law and the promise of God that they were to be his chosen people, his special treasure, that their heart's desire was to serve him. Their heart's desire was to be obedient to him. And yet, when you study the history of the nation of Israel, you'll find that from this particular point, they just continued to deteriorate to Malachi. When I read it, it reminds me of my Christian life. It reminds me of the day I got saved. and I couldn't tell you the date, but I can remember the day as clear as a bell. And I can remember at that time, my own heart and mind, when I got saved, I had a genuine desire there. I said, Lord, I want to obey you. I want to do things your way, because my life was a mess before that, a terrible mess. And when the Lord saved me, that was my heart's desire. And you know, that zeal was there for quite a while, as it was with these folk, the nation of Israel. The zeal was there. But then as life got on, I gradually forgot about what I wanted to do. The zeal gradually slowed down. It gradually faded, and so on. And this is what happened with the nation of Israel. Can you remember back to the day when you were saved? You know, I can remember looking at the clouds in the sky and thinking, well, the Lord's going to come in the clouds, you know? And I remember that first week when I used to travel to work every morning, and I was driving a truck on the north coast, and I used to drive around, and all I'd be doing was looking at the clouds, eh? Should have kept my eye on the traffic, I guess. But the fact is, anticipation and zeal, and the desire to serve, the desire to obey, and so on. But then, of course, the old nature, we haven't got rid of that, have we? Unfortunately. God willing, as we go through the chart, we'll find out where that does disappear from us, thankfully. But the heart's desire is there. Let's come back just a moment to Genesis chapter 12, please. The line on the chart that we're looking at is the centre red line, the wide one. That's where we're working at, and that's our beginning point. But I want us to come back to Abraham, or Abram, as he's known here in Genesis 12. Just reading the first couple of verses from verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curses thee. Now note the next line. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So the blessing wasn't just going to be for one nation. It's all the families of the earth. That envelopes us, thankfully. And that's a promise that God gave to Abram. And if you stand with Abram back in those days, you'll find that it was a prophetic promise. And a promise that is still being fulfilled today. And it's a wonderful promise. Because it's through that promise that we have entered into that blessing ourselves. I'll just go to the chart and just begin to explain a few things from the chart for us. This is our starting point here, 1491 BC. This is when the dispensation of the law began, as we read in Exodus chapter 19. Now the period of the time of the law extended right through to the time of our Lord. Okay. 1491 BC, the beginning of the dispensation of the law. What we read in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 3. When the Lord gave to Moses the law and it was brought down to the people. This was the conditional promise that we read, where the Lord said that he would make them a special treasure unto himself, a chosen people. And being a special treasure and a chosen people, it was conditional with the word if that we read about. When the law was given, the period of time that extended, and remember, we're in the fortunate position of looking back today. We're looking back over these times. Okay? The law extended for 1,521 years. It actually enveloped the life of our Lord Jesus. Remember that. He walked upon this earth in the dispensation of the law, and he fulfilled the law in every point. When we can understand how he fulfilled the law and walking in the dispensation of the law, it gives us a greater understanding of the preciousness and the perfectness of the person of our Lord Jesus. The dispensation of grace began after his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. It began by the sending of the Spirit of God into this world on the day of Pentecost, the church age. Through this particular dispensation of the law, there were many events that did happen. Joshua, 40 years later, 1491, the dispensation began. They were in the wilderness for 40 years. And 40 years later, in 1451, as according to Joshua chapter 3, he led the nation of Israel into the promised land across the Jordan. Moses wasn't there. I'm sure we're familiar with the story. As we look at the period of time and the events of that time, historically, we find that in BC 606, a judgment was brought upon the nation by God. And there was a monarch, and one of the most powerful monarchs who has ever ruled upon this earth, by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. And he took the nation of Israel into captivity. And that captivity lasted for 70 years. That's what we term today as the Babylonian captivity. It lasted for 70 years. Now we're tracing the line of the nation of Israel, or the Jewish line, whichever way you want to understand it. So they go down into the captivity. They pass through the period of the captivity, and in 536 BC, we see they're back on track once again. They're regathered. Continue on to the time of AD 30, when our Lord was brought upon this earth. I beg your pardon, when our Lord upon this earth was crucified. When we study the Word of God, always bear in mind and always look for Christ in the Scriptures. The Word of God. God has given us His Word, and it's about His Son. And while it's about us and affects us, it is to do with His Son. I often have a lot of people say to me, I have trouble with the book of Revelation. And I say to them, you ever studied the first verse? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And if you look for Jesus Christ right through the whole book of Revelation and how the side effects from him are upon mankind, then you get an understanding of Revelation, because God's speaking about his Son and the sovereignty of his Son through Revelation. And it's the same when we trace right through Scripture. We find that the Scripture is about his Son. The beginning of the book of Hebrews tells us that. At this particular point in time, we find that in AD 70, that the Jews were scattered, as according to the prophecy of our Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 21. And the nation is still scattered today. As the period of grace, or the dispensation of grace, began on the day of Pentecost, we find, and will find in a moment as we go back to Scripture, that now both Jew and Gentile are one body in Christ. You see, up to this particular point in time, the nation of Israel was that chosen generation. Now we find Jew and Gentile, the partition has been removed, and now all are one body in Christ. This is the period of time in which we today live. And I would believe that, as with most scholars, that we're towards the end of that dispensation of grace. It's drawing to a close. We're nearing, and you probably hear it all the time now these days, we're in the end times, the end days, the final period of the dispensation of grace. And I firmly believe that. The nation of Israel is being regathered. And we find that it's according to the prophecy of Ezekiel 37 that they are to be regathered. And they come back on track. But that'll be at the end. The end of the dispensation of grace. At the end of the dispensation of grace, something is going to happen. An enormous event is going to happen. And that event, and we'll look at it in the future, is when the church will be gathered out of this world. The rapture. And we will meet the Lord in the air together. Not one preceding the other. Also, the Lord spoke about it in Matthew 24 as it is being a time of the beginning of sorrows. Not for those who are heaven-bound, but for those who are earth-bound. And so while it ends the dispensation of grace, it begins the period of the dispensation of tribulation, or the tribulation time. Now, we have a period of time here, 1,521 years for the law. We have the dispensation of grace. We're unable to put a time figure on that. That's not revealed to mankind. God, in his wisdom, and all you've got to do is think about it and you'll see that there's much wisdom there, that God hasn't given us a date or a period of time for the dispensation of grace. That's in his timing. And that's in his timing and perfect timing alone. However, when the dispensation of grace finishes, we find that the tribulation period will last for a period of 7 years. We'll look at that, God willing, in the future as well. At the final point in time concerning the tribulation period, there then follows the millennium, or the millennial reign of Christ. And you'll find that that's referred to in Matthew 25 as the throne of his glory. The time when the Lord will rule upon this earth in true righteousness, like has never been seen before. The kingdoms, the previous kingdoms, will all be smashed and destroyed, never to return. It's an absolute destruction. Following that time, there becomes then, of course, the millennium's 1,000 years. That's what it's about, the word millennium. Following that then becomes the day of God. And the day of God when the earth itself is utterly and totally destroyed. And there becomes a new heaven and a new earth. And in that period of time, there's the great white throne judgment. Now, basically, what we've done is just simply look through this particular line here, and very briefly. And I thought that it was best to look through that line, because what we'll do from this point in time is we'll take up what's below the line. And then as we continue on, we'll take up what's above the line. Its effect upon the nation of Israel. Its effect upon the church. Its effect upon all mankind. And we're speaking of eternity. I'm going to go back to our Bibles in a moment, because we do need to look at a few verses of Scripture. Just to take up this point that we were looking at here in Exodus 19 and verse 3. And that was the fact, I beg your pardon, in verse 5. That was the fact concerning God's special treasure. So just open with your Bibles again with me, please. And I think what it might be best for us to do is maybe go to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 2, and we just take up a couple of verses here. I want us to take up from verse 9. Now, bearing in mind what we read in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5 about God's special treasure. Now Peter writes, he says, "But ye are." Now that's not conditional. In actual fact, the only condition laid down here when he uses this word "ye are" is the condition of salvation. The only condition. Remember, it was God spoke to the nation of Israel, but if was conditional upon obedience. Today we live in the dispensation of grace, and all this is conditional upon is salvation. So in verse 9 he says, of 1 Peter 2, "But ye are a chosen generation." Now this is us that he's speaking to, Christians. And remember, in this particular dispensation of grace, both Jew and Gentile are one body in Christ. And so he goes on to say, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Now note what he says next. He says, a peculiar people. This is the identical word in the Greek for the Hebrew word segula, a special treasure. So now God is addressing the church as being the special treasure. Is Israel left out? Of course not. Because both Jew and Gentile are one body in Christ. So God is still continuing on the promise that he had given to Abraham that we read back in Genesis chapter 12. And it's continuing on today because all nations were to be blessed, all families of the earth. And that envelopes us of today. You know, brothers and sisters, have you ever thought about where you would be at this moment if God hadn't blessed us with being born in the dispensation of grace? Have you ever considered that? I have, quite often. If I'd have been born under the dispensation of the law, where would I be now? If I'd have been born in a time period where I would enter into the tribulation, what would be the end results then? And there are going to be many saved through the tribulation. Have no fear of that. There's multitudes according to Revelations. But you know, we've certainly been blessed today that God has brought us into this world and, beloved, in this country. And we have become part of this special treasure because we've been born in the dispensation of grace. Through what? What have we had to do? We've had to perform a simple act of faith. That's it. And God has, through his grace and mercy, and I love it in Colossians when it says we have been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, a special treasure. And you know, that'll never be removed from us. It can never be taken away. I love the thoughts in Hebrews where we've been sanctified forever. There's no reverse of that action. Can't be reversed because it's been done by God. You know, we're certainly living in precious times. And I think that one thing we need to really understand and grasp hold of, it's going to stop. It's going to finish. And it's going to end suddenly. In the twinkling of an eye, it'll be over, the dispensation of grace, when the church is gathered out. Then begins the tribulation period. You know, I think that, you know, as we were singing that last chorus there and the last verse of that chorus was, we were singing about serving the Lord more and more. You know, that's a verse of action, isn't it? That's a chorus of action. Service is action. Service is suffering. Can't serve the Lord and not suffer. And serving is costly. It costs us time. It costs us money sometimes. It costs us energy. And even costs us health and so on, as we see from the scriptures. But you know, it's storing up treasures in heaven. And that's wonderful. While we may not have much here, there is a time to come, and we'll be looking at those treasures in a time to come. The crowns and so on. But you know, just think about where we're at today. Just think about the immediate, the present. Because we're always saying, well, the Lord's coming. And yes, the Lord is coming. But when the Lord comes, that's the end of the dispensation of grace. And so while we're waiting and watching, we should be seeking and serving. Because that's what he's left us here for. To be witnesses for him. When we look at verse 9 of what we've been reading in 1 Peter 2, we see that he goes forward and says that in the middle of the verse that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. You know, it's that word show forth there, it's very, very particular. It means to speak and to praise him, to speak about him, to speak about his excellencies and so on. The deity and the perfectness and the preciousness of the person of our Lord Jesus. It should be not only upon our hearts, but it should be upon our lips at all times. Witnesses for him. He reminds us in verse 10 of the change that's taken place. Who in times past were not a people. It was a time when we weren't. You go to Romans 6 and you'll find that we were actually, before we got saved, it tells us there that we were actually reveling in sin. Reveling in it. I don't know whether you can relate that to your life, but I can relate it to mine. But he says, but are now the people of God. The people of God. That special treasure. Those who have been, or have become, as he says in verse 9, a chosen generation. You know, God has truly brought us into something very wonderful. We've now, as he says in verse 10, obtained that mercy. We've obtained it. God has provided it, and we've obtained it. You know, as we go on through the chart and we continue reading through it and sorting it out, we're going to find that the Lord will challenge us, as he does with his word at all times. He'll challenge us as to where we are in life. Where am I at? I know where I'm situated. It's near the end of the dispensation of grace. But what about the rest of it? Where am I really at? You know, what are the motives behind the things that I do and so on? This particular point in time, in BC 606, and the next time we open the scriptures, we're going to see that it brings in the green line, the times of the Gentiles. It began right back at BC 606. It will continue right to the end of the tribulation period. And we'll look at that as we're going to look from Daniel's prophecy. And if you want to, I would encourage you to look up Daniel chapter 2 between now and tonight. We're going to take up Daniel chapter 2 and we're going to see the effects and the results, God willing, if we've got time, concerning the prophecy of Daniel chapter 2.